Everybody, thank you for the great honor and privilege of being invited back to speak on the last Lord's Sunday for this year. It has been a good year for me. Recently, I was sharing with a sister in Christ at the funeral wake of one of our members. I said, this year has passed very quickly. The husband said, to you it may be very fast, but it's rather slow for me. And the wife said, you must be very happy, because when you're happy, time passes very fast. When you're sad, time drags. If you suffer, you know what it means, right? If you're sick, the night seems so long. You wait for the morning to come, but every time you open your eyes and look at the clock, it's only about maybe 2 o'clock in the morning. And when you sleep a while, you thought maybe you slept for a long time, and you look at the clock again, it's only 3 o'clock. Time seems to slow down when you suffer. But thank God we have come to the close of this year. Tomorrow will be the last day. And thank God for this opportunity to bring to you the last message. Actually, I prepared another message. You see, when Reverend Lim was around, I'm not saying anything, okay, please forgive me, I'm not judging anyone. He would call me up on Thursday and ask me what I want to speak, the title and everything. But he's now in London, so he thought maybe somebody would do a job. Nobody called me. Sorry, I'll just... But I have written in my calendar that I was going to speak. So I panicked. I emailed Daniel, his son. I asked him, okay, find out from your dad if I'm speaking this Sunday. No reply from him. I SMS Deacon Ivan. I said, am I speaking this Sunday? He replied and said, yes, you are invited to speak. I was very happy. Lo and behold, Elder Sim SMS me. He says, yes, you are speaking. And then I saw the title. Revelation 22:20. Surely I come quickly. I panicked because I got it on Friday night. I wasn't in because I went to a funeral wake. And after that, I went for my overnight prayer meeting. And I saw the message in the morning, Saturday morning. So I asked the Lord, I need thy word to give to thy people. And this is the title. And then after that, I had to come for the wedding here. And at night, I had to go for the dinner. So by God's grace, I have prepared a message for you. Surely I come quickly. The Lord says that He's coming back again. In John 14, He told His disciples, I will come again. In the days of Peter, the people scoffed and say, where is the promise of His coming? Okay. Since our father slept, Jesus has not come back. You know? Today, there are many people who say the same thing. You know? They think that Jesus will never come back. So the world keep on going as it is. The world has never liked our Lord. The world hates our Lord, and the world hates us, because the Lord Himself says, okay, He hates me first, therefore He hates you. Okay. Do not marvel, do not be surprised that the world hates you. Okay. But He has promised that He would come. Can we trust Him? Yes, we can. Because the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, for all the promises of God in Him are yea and in him, amen. All the promises. What God has promised right from the very beginning, Genesis, right up to the end of the book, the Revelation. God has promised us many things, and none has failed. That's why when you pray, you read the Bible, you find a promise, you bring to God and say, God, this is what you promised me. I believe. Help thou my unbelief. And now I stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. If you truly believe, you will receive what you ask for. I've asked God for many things, and God, praise his name, he has answered me. None has been denied. Sometimes people say, you know, God has three answers. Yes, no, wait. If you know God is not going to answer you, why do you want to pray that kind of prayer? Why do you want to come to God and ask God for something that you know he will never answer you? So don't waste your time praying for this kind of prayers, you know. Ask God to give you wisdom, to ask for prayers that is in accordance to his perfect will. And know by faith that he will answer you, and he will. He promised us, none who come to him for need, he will turn away. Our God is good. Okay? And when Jesus says, surely I am coming quickly, he means it. He's coming. When? We don't know. But he will come. Right, before we go further, shall we look to God in a word of prayer and commit this time to him? Let's pray. Dear God, our gracious, eternal Heavenly Father, our hearts are truly thankful unto thee for thy goodness unto each and every one of us. Truly, thou hast been very, very good to us. Thou hast kept us safe. Thou hast given us good health, sound mind, nice jobs and families. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Truly, thou hast kept thy promise. My God shall supply all thy needs. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And Lord, we can testify of all these things because we have tasted of them. We can say from the bottom of our heart, God, thank you. Thank you so very much. And now as we come to listen to thy word, we pray that thou will open our understanding. Pray that thy word will comfort those that needs comforting. Encourage those that needs encouragement. For those who are in sorrow, Lord, we pray that your word will grant them fullness of joy. For those who are outside thy kingdom and needs thy salvation, we pray that thy word will convict them of their sins, of thy righteousness and soon judgment to come, that they'll cry to thee for mercy and for forgiveness. They will turn away from their wicked ways and repent of their sins and believe and accept Jesus as their Savior. We pray that thou will answer their prayers. We pray that thou will answer our prayers for our needs as we listen to thy word, that thou will fulfill our needs. Lord, above all, glorify thyself through thy word that thou art going to speak to us. Of thy most unworthy servant, as he stands on thy behalf to be thy mouthpiece, that thy word will go forth to accomplish whatever, Lord, thou hast purposed. We praise thee and bless thee. Bind every evil spirit and cast every evil spirit away from this place. Wash and cleanse us in the blood of Christ, and may thy presence be in our midst. And guide us, open our understanding, open our ears that we may hear, remove every tiredness and sleepiness away from us, Help us to focus our attention on Thee and Thee alone. We thank You. We ask all this in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen. During World War II, when the Japanese were conquering and sweeping all before them, they came to Philippines. General Douglas MacArthur was the Allied commander. Philippines was going to fall into the Japanese hands. And so President Roosevelt ordered Douglas MacArthur to evacuate and go to Australia. Of course, he was very upset to leave his men behind, but he made a promise to the Filipinos. He says, "I shall return." They waited 3 years for him to come back. But during these 3 years, repeated broadcasts were made to them. Maybe I don't know how many times a week, or maybe daily, but it was repeated. And he says, "I shall return." So the Filipinos had this hope that he would come back and liberate the countries from the Japanese. So true enough, on October the 22nd, 1944, General MacArthur waded ashore and he proclaimed, "I have returned." Now the Bible tells us that Jesus himself said, "Behold, I surely come quickly." He's telling us and saying this, "I shall return to earth. I am coming back again. Don't lose hope. Trust me. Believe me. I will never fail you." You know, for those who are in deep discouragement, we need these words. We need the Lord to come back. Sometimes when I am with my wife, you know, many times I joke with her. Every time I face a problem, I told her, "I wish the Lord would come back. Take me home." And I always think, "I'm coming, I'm coming." And she said, "Why you must always have a defeatist attitude? Every time you face problem, you want to run away." I told her, "I'm only joking." Maybe some of us are facing this kind of problems. You face problems that maybe you think that there are no answers. And you wish that the Lord will come back, take you home. Then all your problems are solved. But running away from a problem doesn't solve the problem, Because if the Lord takes you home, your problems still remain, right? Somebody else will have to face that problem, The only good news is that the whole family will be raptured. Everyone connected with you, those who are saved, will be raptured. We'll meet the Lord in the cloud, in the air. Very interestingly, somebody commented, "Why did the Lord meet us in the air? Why doesn't He bring us straight home to heaven?" And this commentator said this. He says, "At the very moment now, Satan is known as the prince of the air. So the Lord brings His children to meet Him in the air to signify that He has crushed Satan. He has taken over His domain." I thought that was a good thought. But He's coming back to bring us back to where He is, because John 14 says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I've gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you shall also be. And I'm coming back to receive you unto myself, and bringing us back to heaven." So the good news for those who are saved is that he's going to come back and bring us back to a home that we have been waiting for, that God has been preparing all these years for us. You know, we read in the Bible about heaven, beautiful place, lovely place, but I believe it is more lovely than what it is, you know. If you have maybe read traveler logs, you know, those who love to go traveling, maybe you have read about Grand Canyon. Somebody have described to you about Grand Canyon. You read it and you say, wow, you know. But if you have personally gone there and see the grandeur of the Grand Canyon yourself, you will know that the description cannot really match the real thing, right? Okay. You know, like I tell you, this cake is very nice. You look at it, it looks nice, but you haven't tasted it, you know. I say, it looks very nice, it tastes very good. Unless you tasted it yourself, you won't know it tastes good, right? It just looks nice. So heaven is like that, you know. It looks beautiful in the book of Revelation. But when you really see that, it will really take your breath away. It's so beautiful. The streets are made of gold. Imagine walking on golden streets, transparent glass, pure gold. We haven't seen pure gold. The gold that we see here, 99.9999%. Nobody dare to claim it's 100% pure gold because there are a little bit of impurities inside, you know. Okay. But in heaven, there are no impurities. Everything is perfect. That's where we are going. And so that's why Jesus says he's coming back again. You know? Surely, he said, surely. He didn't say, maybe. If he says, maybe I'm coming back, that's scary, isn't it? You know, if you say, like your friend, can you help me? He says, maybe. You know, gone, you know, sure gone. Why not say no, you know, just to make you happy? Maybe. Lah. See my mood. If I'm happy, I go. If I'm not happy, sorry. You know, maybe. He didn't say, guess I'm coming back. Guess, I guess. No. No. He said, surely, certainty. 100%. Surely. If you ask somebody, he'll say, surely I help you. You can trust him, right? You know he will surely come. Unless, of course, you know, man being man, we have full excuses, right? Oh, sorry, I missed the bus. Sorry, the train broke down. And now we can use excuses like train breakdown, right? Because train really breaks down, you know? Yeah. We can say, oh, you know, this and that. Oh, I'm not free, I'm sick, and so on. But the Lord is not like that. When he said, surely I will come, he means surely he will come. You can put your whole life upon that word surely. Because who says it? He says, I who testify of the things of this book. You know, the Bible is the word of God. We read in John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Yes, the word was God. Has any, at any time, failed in any way the word? No. We just celebrated Christmas. You know when Christmas was thought of? It wasn't 25th December, you know. 1 AD, it wasn't that. It was way back in the Garden of Eden, you know, that the concept of Christmas took place. When Adam and Eve sinned against God. And God says, I'm going to give you a redeemer. He's going to crush the head of Satan. The serpent will bruise his heel. He's going to bruise the head. God has promised that he would send a deliverer. And in Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. God kept his word. And Jesus will also keep his word. I will come. I will not send my angels, no. I will come personally to receive you to myself. You know, if a man is being received by the king himself, how honored it would be, isn't it? So we should feel honored that Jesus is coming to receive us unto himself, you know. We who are nobody. You may be uneducated, you may be poor, okay? You may be lowly. He's coming to receive you. If you are a king and you believe him, he's going to come to receive you in the same way. There's no respect of persons with God. If you are a child of his, he's coming. He's coming for you. He's coming for me. But when is he coming? We don't know. Jesus himself also doesn't know, you know, when he's coming. Now somebody asked this question. How could it be when Jesus is God and God knows everything and Jesus says, only the Father knows. Jesus was telling his disciples as the Son of Man. When he came to earth, he was under the command of God. We are told that he was made a little lower than the angel. He came in the flesh. He was man, the very man. So as man, he doesn't know the things of God. That's why he says only the Father knows. No angel knows. Even Jesus says, I myself don't know when he's coming. Because in Mark chapter 13, verse 32, he says it. Let's turn to Mark 13, 32. That's what Jesus says. Mark chapter 13, verse 32. Jesus says, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angel which is in heaven, neither the Son of Man, but the Father. Only God knows when he's going to send the Son back again the second time to earth. Not as a baby now, okay, but as a judge, a savior, to call out unto his own those that have been saved, those that put their trust in him. Are you one of them? You may have come to church maybe for 52 Sundays this year, but you have not come into a living relationship with the Lord Jesus. You are not safe. You are not safe. You must know for sure that you have the Lord Jesus with you. Bible says we know we have eternal life. We know. We don't guess. We don't say, I think so, you know. No. We know. I'm sure. Okay. You have to be very sure that you have eternal life, that you know the Lord personally, that he's your personal savior. You know? Because Christmas actually is a very personal message unto you, this born in the city of David, a savior. Okay? Yes, unto you this sign is given. Okay? Everything is you, personally you. So you have to come to receive the gift of salvation yourself. You cannot say, oh, my parents are Christian, so automatically I'm a Christian. No, it doesn't work that way. See? God's way are not man's way. My children are born in my family, so automatically they become young, you see. How it's spelled is, doesn't matter. Okay? Y-E-O-N-G, Y-O-N-G, Y-A-N-G, Y-O-U-N-G. No, they're still my son, my daughter. Okay? And especially, today is not so bad, you know. Long ago, when the parents were illiterate, when the nurses maybe can't understand. So when the father go and register the son or the daughter, his father maybe speak in Cantonese. And the nurse listen in Cantonese and translate into English and give a very special name. Why? I had one student, his family name was Chia, C-H-I-A, Chia. Her father being a Cantonese, how do you pronounce Chia in Cantonese? Chair. And the nurse wrote Chair, you know. C-H-A-I-R, that was his surname. I said, hey, you have to go and find a table man to get married. Table and chair, you know. Then when you write composition, my family consists of one table and five chairs. Chair, I said, oh my. I said, why didn't you tell your father? He said, my father don't know English. And the nurse must be an Indian. I'm sorry, I'm not prejudiced against anybody. Maybe she's a Chinese, I don't know. She couldn't hear carefully. She put chair, C-H-A-I-R. So how it's spelled, it doesn't matter. You're still the family of this man. You see. He's still a son of this man. He's a chair, the father's a chair. Yeah. Okay. I can be a young, my son can be a young. You know? So it's still the same. Okay. So if you're a child of God, no matter who you are, he's coming back for you. He's coming soon, he says. I am coming. I am surely coming. If you look at the book of Revelation, the last chapter, three times, you know, the Lord says, I am coming. Verse 7 and verse 12 and verse 20. Three times the Lord mentioned that I am coming. Behold, I am coming quickly. And in the book of Revelation, when he talks to the churches, he says, I am coming. The Lord emphasized a lot of times that he is coming, and none more in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. And incidentally, Revelation 22:20 is the last promise of God. He's coming. Okay. And John says, even so come, Lord Jesus. He was waiting for him to come. John had leaned on Jesus' breast. He walked very close with the Lord. He missed the Lord, you know, and he wanted the Lord to come back soon. Come, Lord, come, even now, come. You know? Amen. Surely you'll come to pass. Amen. Okay. The stamp of approval. Amen. And in him, amen, the promises of God. Surely. Okay. God will not lie to us, you know. God will not mock us. He will not make us so happy and then he drop a bombshell and crush us. No. God is never like that. You know? Sometimes we build up people's ego and then suddenly drop something and then they're so crushed, they know what to do. You know? But God is not like that. Jesus is not like that. He says, I'm coming. He's coming. And he coming quickly, soon. Okay. Sometimes people say, well, it has been 2,000 years. Still, there's no coming. You see, God is not bound by time like we are. Okay. A very good example, okay, in Hebrews 10:37. This is the word of God. This is what he says. He says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. When the Lord Almighty God tells his son, time to go, go, the Lord will come. The Lord will not say, maybe wait a little longer. No. Not like some of us. We ask our sons, go now. He said, mom, 5 minutes. You know, after 5 minutes up, mom, another 5 minutes. You know, they don't want to go. They like to linger. Okay? But not the Lord. He will surely come. You see, God always used the word surely and will, you know. Okay? I will come. I will surely come. He will not tarry for a little while, yet for a little while. This little while has been 2,000 years already. Now, Peter said something that is very striking. You turn to 2 Peter 3:8, and you see these striking things about time. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. This is what Peter says. He says this, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing." This one thing is the second coming of the Lord. "That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Okay? The Lord has not come back yet so that people who are outside the kingdom get a chance to repent. God is long-suffering. If you are here today listening to this word of God, but is not a Christian, God is speaking to you. God is long-suffering towards you. Okay? He gives you 52 weeks. Every week you come, the last week of the year, he's going to save you if you want to be saved. Maybe you will reject him. Maybe you think, he's not coming so soon, you know? I can still wait. I shared the gospel with my colleague. He says, "No, I don't want to believe Jesus now. I will only believe in him when I'm going to die. With my last breath, I will say, 'Jesus, I believe you. I accept you as my Savior.'" I say, "Very good. But tell me, when are you going to die? Do you know when you're going to die?" "You don't know." He may think that, "Well, I'm healthy, I'm strong, you know. I can live up to 80 years old, maybe 79 years old, I repent. I want to enjoy myself for 79 years. Okay? But can you be sure that you're going to live up to 80? Maybe you say, "Well, you know, today men live longer. We read the paper's obituary." I don't know whether you like to read obituary or not, I don't know. I would love to go to that page and see anyone I know who passed away. And sometimes you read, you see people 90 years old, 87, you think you can live that long, but you forgot. Sometimes you look, 12 years old also passed away, right? 10 years old also passed away. You can never tell, you know, when life ends. So now is the accepted time. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, because today is the day of salvation. God gives you maybe this final chance to believe and accept his son. If you ignore him, maybe God allows you to leave, I don't know. Okay? Or maybe he said, "Enough is enough, I'm going to take you home." You can die of a heart attack. You read in the paper, strong men, healthy men, jogging, collapse and die. Some of them are doctors, 40 years old. Fit and healthy and yet just passed away. Maybe God has been speaking to him, "Come and believe in my son." Maybe he said, "I'm a doctor, I can take care of myself. I know how to live a long life." But you can't live what God says now, today, is your last day on earth. Remember the rich man in the Bible? His crop was so abundant and he was so successful, he cut out everything and said, "What shall I do? I have so much good stored up, you know." And he said, "I will tear down all my little barns and build huge barns and store all these things and say to my soul, 'Soul, you have so much goods.'" But what Bible tells us, God said, "Tonight, I will require your soul. Tonight." Yes. So you can never tell. But God has given you time. And he's not willing that any should perish. God is a loving God. He loves you. He wants to save you. Don't reject his offer. Don't say no to God. Why you want to live a miserable life, you know, when God can give you the peace that you need so much, that you have been trying to look for it for so long, and it always eludes you, escapes you. Come to him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come back to the time. Peter says what? A thousand years is like one day. That means what? 2,000 years has gone, so according to God's timetable, it's only 2 days, you know. Right? 1,000, this is 2013, right? So we are living in the 3,000. We are living in the third day. Maybe you say, well, God created the world in 6 days. Maybe 6000, he's come back. What a long time to live, man. I don't think we can live that long, right? Can you live up to 6000? I don't think so. Okay. Maybe you think, I got time. But you never know, you know. God may not keep this timetable according to the creation timetable. 6 days, he created everything. Some people always think, well, you know, since God did this, he will also send his son back like that, like, you know, six days. 6 days is 6,000 years, you know. Or maybe 6,000 years he'll come back. Like. So I don't think I can live 6,000 years old. You see, we always think we are smarter than God. But we forget that God gave us just a finite mind. Our mind is finite. We can't think beyond what God wants us to think. Okay? That's our finite. That's the highest we can go. Okay? God is infinite. Okay? What he wants us to know, he reveals it to us. Deuteronomy 29:29. What is secret with God, he keeps it. Okay? And the time of Jesus coming is only God knows. We don't know. We can't guess. He can come anytime. Even before this service is over, the Lord may come. And then suddenly everybody will be raptured. And if you are not a child of his, you'll be left behind. You know? The only thing good is that you can go around and choose all the things you want. Because we'll leave our watches behind. Yeah. We'll leave our shoes behind. Yeah. You can have a free pick. Even our shirt and everything will be left behind, you know? Because we are going to have a glorified body. Yeah. Everything will be changed. Okay. But I tell you, don't wait for this thing to happen. If you are not a child of God, you know, don't think, wow, how nice. I always admired a guy Rolex. I always wanted to own a Rolex. If he get raptured, I can have his Rolex. Don't ever think of that, like, you know? You have a Rolex watch with you, you're going to suffer 7 years of tribulation on earth. And this watch, Rolex watch, can't even buy you a meal, you know, during that time because food is going to be so expensive. And what are you going to do? Look at the Rolex? No, look to God. He's coming for you. He's coming for me. He's coming for everyone who loves him. A thousand years to God, like Psalm 90 verse 4, is but as yesterday which is past. To God, a day may be a thousand years may be a day. But for us, a day means 24 hours and the Lord can come any moment in these 24 hours. I will come soon, he says. How soon, we don't know. Okay? It could be tomorrow, it could be next year. It could be 10 years down the road. It could be maybe in your children's lifetime. But don't take the risk if he should come back tomorrow or come back at 2 o'clock this afternoon. You know? Because if you can't get saved during the peaceful period, I doubt very much you can save during the Great Tribulation period. Although there are people who get saved, you know. Okay? Yes, during the Great Tribulation period, there are people who get saved because there'll be Bibles around. We can't carry our Bibles with us. They may read the Bibles and God may let them to read about salvation. They may get saved, but they have to pay a terrible price. It's martyrdom for them, you know. They have to die for their faith in the Great Tribulation time. Because if you are a child of God, you will not receive the mark 666 on the palm here or on your forehead here. And you don't have 666, you can't do anything. You can't buy, you can't sell, you know. And you have to die. You either die of starvation, or they say that, don't know whether it's true or not, you'll get beheaded. Guillotine. The guillotine is going to come back. You know, you get your head chopped off. But why do you want to wait for that time? Why don't you want to receive Christ now? And when He comes, we all can go up and have a great meeting in the air with Him. How joyous would that occasion be? Surely I come quickly. You can trust Him. He says it, He means it. Do you believe it? That's the question. If you believe it, what do we ought to do? We ought, according to Peter, live soberly. We ought to redeem our time. Spend our time wisely. Ask God what He wants you to do for Him. Serve Him. He has called you to serve Him. If you have been approached by your Sunday school superintendent and say, can you please take a Sunday school class next year? Say yes, volunteer. Don't say, I'm so busy. If people ask you, can you come to prayer meeting more often? Say yes. Surely you can find time to come at least once in a month. You know, do something that will count for eternity. God has given us life not to enjoy ourselves, but to glorify Him in whatever we do. Maybe you think, I'm just a mere worker in my company. You can glorify God in that place where God has put you in. God never makes mistakes. He did not make a mistake of putting you in a job and make you suffer there. No. He knows that you can glorify Him. That's why Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that you may glorify your Father who art in heaven. Let your light shine. Do the best as you can in that job that God has put for you. If you are a clerk, be the best clerk in the company. If you are a student in your class, be the best student you can be in the class. You don't have to be a high flyer. You can be a mediocre student, but you are very well behaved. You are very obedient. You never give trouble to the teachers, to the other students. You honor God. That's the best you can do. And God will honor you. Because God promised in the book of Samuel, he that honor me, I will honor him. He that esteem me lightly, I will also esteem him lightly. So God saves us to serve Him. Serve Him. And when we meet the Lord, we don't have to hang down and say, I've not given a track in my 40 years of Christian life. I have not told a soul about you. How sad that would be, isn't it? When God has given us an opportunity to give a track, give a track. And God has touched your heart to speak to the neighbor, speak to the neighbor. You don't have to preach to him. You say, can I share something with you? Okay. I'll just give him a track and say, can you read this? Please read, this is good for you. Okay. It's a very good opportunity, actually, to share. Especially this Christmas season. I'm living in Tampines. My block is undergoing renovation. Okay. We get 10 days, they come and hack our toilets in the kitchen and in the master bedroom. And different groups of people will come, you know. One group of Bangladeshi will come and hack the wall. Then one group of Chinamen will come and fix the wiring. Then another group will come and do the tiling. So many groups in and out, in and out. And that was the best time to give them tracts. You give them a drink and say, can I give this to read? And some of them will read. Some of them finish the job, they will read. And after that, they'll keep. Then we'll pray and say, God, speak to their heart, save their soul. Okay? You can never tell. When you go to heaven, somebody will come up to you and say, thank you so much for giving me the track. And I knew Jesus. You know? You can never tell what will happen just simply by giving a track. Or just say, do you know Jesus? It may make him curious to know who is this Jesus. Then he will try and find out. And God will save him. You can never tell. That's why in heaven there will be lots of surprises. People will come to you and say, thank you so much. Yeah. So pray. Ask God to give you wisdom to live for him. A life that will shine for him, that will glorify him. Don't look down upon yourself and say, I'm useless. Don't ever say that you are useless when God said you are useful to me. You know? If you are useless, God will take you home, you know. God will not let you spend one more extra second on earth to breathe his fresh air. He won't. If you are useless. If God thinks you are useless, he will take you back. Because you are alive, God knows you have something for him. And God knows that you can do something for him. So ask God, what can I do for you in 2013? Give me the grace, God. Speak to me. Give me the strength. Give me the willingness. Then go on. And I tell you, once you get into a closer relationship with God, everything else is not important. You know? Yes. If you think money is so important to you, when you come to know Jesus Christ, money is really not important anymore. Of course we need money, you know. We don't deny that we need money to survive. Things are so expensive. You want to own a car, now the COE price is what? 80 over 1,000. Madness. You must pay 80 over 1,000 for the piece of paper, you know. That's why somebody joke, one time Mahathir told Mr. Lee Kuan Yew, we manufacture car. Lee Kuan Yew said, no, we print papers. We get more money than you. Yeah, one piece of paper, before you can buy a car, you must have that piece of paper. Today it costs 80 over 1,000 for a car. You think that, well, I must have a car, I must get the 80,000. Don't worry, God will supply your needs. He will take care of you. If God thinks you need a car, he will give you a car. I tell you, it's true. You need money to spend, God will give you money to spend. You don't have to worry. God put me in charge of KL Mission. I told the Lord, I need to buy a house of yours for the old folks to come and worship you. Last time our old church was on the second floor, it was very dark, and the old folks got to climb very long flights of steps to reach the church, and most of them don't come and say, God, they're not coming. And so you have to give them a ground floor. And then every time I go to KL, when my missionary drives me around to visit the folks, I see new buildings come and say, God, how nice if we can get a church like that. And I said, hey, where's the money? Who's going to give me the money to buy the church? And then one day, God gave me a shop house. Three stories, you know. It cost 980,000 ringgit. I asked the church, how much money do we have? The people told me, 200,000 ringgit. I said, Lord, if that is the place you want us to give it to us, you will give it to us. And you will give us a finance to purchase that place. So I told my missioner, go ahead and buy. I have no money, you know. I only had 200,000. I told her, go ahead and buy. Then she went to look at the place, and the printer was also there. That area is very good for printing. Okay? A lot of shops, printer shops are there. And the printer told her, we already bought the place. And she was so downcast. And good thing the seller was there. The seller said, no, I have not sold him the place yet. But the first person to give me the down payment of 20,000 ringgit, I will sell the place to that person. Wow, so this missioner couldn't sleep, you know, that night. Woke up so early, wait outside the door with the check, 20,000. And we were praying the printer won't come, like, you know. Otherwise you have trouble, competition. So thank God he didn't turn up. So she gave the check to the owner and said, okay, it's yours. She came back and told me, we got a place. I said, Lord, now I need the money. And you know what? The Lord provided 400,000 Sing dollars, you know, through the people in the church. I told them, KL needs a church. I need to borrow money. I got a shock of my life. Everybody queue up to give me money. Yeah. Everybody queue up to give me money. They say, I pledge 15,000. I pledge 20,000. They never tell me when they need the money back. Okay? So I just collect all the money, put it in the bank, send it there. We got a building. And you know what? 4 years, we cleared the 400,000 loan. The Lord provided every cent we gave back to all the people who loaned us the money to buy the place. You see, God is good. I know it because I've seen it with my eyes. And not only that, God gave us extra, you know. Because we need to buy fixtures for the church and everything. Today, if you ever go up to KL, I would like to invite you to my church and see the goodness of God. 3-story building. If you are interested, you can take the third floor. The third floor is unoccupied. New Life want to start another church over there, you can take the third floor. But give the congregation to us. Yes, 3 stories. My God shall supply all your needs. I asked the Lord only for a ground floor. And you know what the Bible tells us? Unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think or ask. Yes, that's our God. You want 5 cents, he can give you $50. You don't believe? Try him. Just have faith, try him. And stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You get it? And you know, I sent my second son to London to study law. $200,000 to complete his course. And the Lord has provided that money for me. He has. He's in his second year now. Next year will be after. 2014 is his final year. But the Lord has already supplied our needs for him to complete that course. Where the money come from? I don't know. He gave. He just take. You just say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Our God is a great God. What he says, he means it. He didn't say something and mean another thing. No. So when Jesus says, I'm coming again, he's coming again. I will receive you unto myself. He's going to receive us unto himself. In my Father's house are many mansions. I prepare a place for you. There's a place for us in heaven. Yes, your name is written in one of the rooms, you know. It's yours. Every one of you, me, every believer has a place in heaven. God is good. He is love. He loves you. If you're not a child of his, come, accept him. You've got nothing to lose. You will have the peace of God. Your sins will be forgiven you. You will have the joy that is unspeakable. The joy that flows in your heart You don't know where it comes from. It comes from God, you know. And you are very happy. Yes, it's true. Because by the grace of God, and thank God that experiences. And what makes you different from me? We are all the same. Maybe you think, oh, you're a preacher, God bless you. No, not true. As long as you're a child of God, you can claim anything in the Bible from God. Anything. Because that is promised to us. And you can tell him, God, thank you that you're coming for me. Thank you that you're going to take me home to heaven. Thank you. I don't deserve it. But thank you for your love. So I pray that since we know the Lord is coming, let us spend our life wisely, invest our life for the Lord. If you have not done so, why not tell the Lord, I want to invest my life for you. I want to serve you. I want to give my best unto you. Because you gave your best to me. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, our hearts are truly thankful unto thee for your wonderful, marvelous gift of salvation in the Lord Jesus. And through him, many blessings have come into our life till it overflows. Lord, we pray that thou will continue to keep us in your love. Grant us the grace that we may walk close to you and with you. Give us the strength that we may labor on for you. Give us watchfulness, carefulness. Give us desires to please you, to do things that will honor you and glorify you, so that people who are walking in darkness may see that we have the light. We are walking in the light. We are also lights of the world. Because Jesus tells us to let our light so shine before men. So Lord, help us. I commit all my brethren in this church into your hands. Bless them in their lives. Use them, Lord. For those who are still outside your kingdom, we plead with you that they will come and put their trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Continue to bless your servant, Reverend Lim, as he takes charge of this work. Bless Reverend Daniel Koo as he embarks on a new mission for thee. Bless all the elders and the deacons of this church. Bless every member from the youngest to the oldest. Help them to know that they are of some use to you. They can make a difference. So Lord, we just commend ourselves, unworthy as we are, into your loving hands, that thou will take us up, mold us, restore us, and Lord, use us for thy honor and thy glory. Hear our prayers, we plead, for we ask all this in Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior's name. Amen. Thank you.